الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب هب لي من الصالحين فبشرناه بغلام حليم فلما بلغ معه السعي قال يا بني إني أرى في المنام أني أذبحك فانظر ماذا ترى قال يا أبت افعل ما تؤمر ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين فلما أسلما وتله للجبين وناديناه أن يا إبراهيم قد صدقت الرؤيا إنا كذلك نجزي المحسنين إن هذا لهو البلاء المبين وفديناه بذبح عظيم وتركنا عليه في الآخرين سلام على إبراهيم كذلك نجزي المحسنين إنه من عبادنا المؤمنين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم يا فتاح يا فتاح يا فتاح وبك نستعين First of all, Alhamdulillah, today is the day of Eid. Today for us is the day of Eid, the day of Eid al-Adha. And this day falls within the last month, the final month of the Islamic calendar, the Islamic year, the month of Dhul Hijjah. And this is the month in which, you know, the main acts of Hajj and the rites of Hajj take place. Many of us will know people, many of us will have friends and family who have been fortunate enough to go on this blessed journey of Hajj, whether it's this year or whether it's been in the past. And whilst Hajj is amongst the largest gatherings on the face of the earth, you know, the figures in 2019, before COVID came, 2.5 million people were gathered in the plain of Arafah in the main day and the big event of Hajj. And, you know, bearing in mind that there are those people who are fortunate enough to have gone for Hajj, we've got to remember that the vast majority of us are left behind. The vast majority of us are at home during these days. And we need to bear in mind that just like the Hajis, the people who have gone on the journey of Hajj and the pilgrims, just like they are fulfilling the commandment of their deen, likewise, the people who are left behind during these sacred days, we also have our duties and our obligations towards our Allah. Our mindset and what we should spend our time doing is just as important as those people who have gone to fulfill their obligation of Hajj. And our obligations at home are just as important. Now, if we reflect in all spheres, in all walks of life, we find that there are the lives of certain luminaries, the lives of certain great personalities that are recalled, the lives of certain great role models that are recalled and that are paid tribute to. Some people pay tribute to a great personality by erecting a statue in their honor. Some people, they have conferences arranged about their life, and people, different speakers come, and different people sit to attend and talk about the life and the works of certain personalities. And then some people have public holidays named in their memory. And then there are some people who have streets named after them. These are all ways of honoring certain personalities, certain luminaries, and certain great role models. Nevertheless, what happens, such as life, is that people forget who is that person, who is that person whose statue is there in the city centre. The conferences take place and there are rows and rows of empty chairs. Similarly, the public holiday comes and the last thing on anyone's mind is who this public holiday was enacted in honour of. It's just another day off. Shukr hai chutti mil gayi. The banks are closed, that's an inconvenience. But the last thing that comes to mind is the personality who this holiday was put in place for, in whose tribute this holiday was put in place. In our deen of Islam, we find that tribute is paid to certain great personalities. Not some footballer, not some political figure, but in fact, those special men who were appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to convey his deen and to connect the creation to the creator. The Anbiya alayhimus salam, the prophets and the messengers, may peace and blessings of Allah ta'ala be upon them. Those special people who were sent with the message of Allah's religion and to connect people with their creator. And as Muslims, our way of remembering them is not to build a statue in their name and is not to name a street after them, but our way to remember these great personalities is by emulating their lives and following their good example, with precedence given to the best example of all, the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this time of year in particular, the month of Dhul-Hijjah, this month in which the Hajj takes place, in which the Eid al-Adha takes place, the Udhiyya takes place, the Qurbani takes place. This season of Hajj and Eid al-Adha, it has a deep relationship with another one of these great role models and another one of these great personalities, another one of these great luminaries, which is, in fact, the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, the Prophet Abraham, may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him. One of those momentous occasions during the life of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, for us to draw lessons from and for us to emulate and draw inspiration from, and that we are encouraged to reflect on at this particular time of year and in this month and in this season of Hajj and Dhul-Hijjah, and when in fact the footsteps of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and his family are retracted and the moments of their lives are relived, their lives which were lives of pure submission to their Creator, their lives which were lives of pure submission, unfaltering submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala has blessed us. Allah ta'ala has blessed us to see these days, these blessed days of Hajj and this blessed day of Eid. In fact, we have two Eids that Allah ta'ala has bestowed upon us. We have the day of Eid al-Fitr after Ramadan, and we have the day of Eid al-Adha, which is celebrated today, the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day after Yawm al-Arafah, which is the final month of the Islamic calendar. And in fact, when these days of Hajj and when this day of Eid comes and when it approaches, then we find ourselves reflecting. We find ourselves reflecting in the actions of Hajj. And then also in the day of Eid itself are the actions and the acts of Ibrahim alayhi salam, of this great luminary, of this great role model and prophet. And these days are full of such actions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this day, brings this month, and brings this season every year, year in, year out. In fact, the word Eid, as I mentioned before on this member, the word Eid, according to many scholars, comes from the root Aada Ya'udu, which means to return, to come back. And it's not just coming back once, it's coming again and again, returning again and again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He brings this day every year. Allah ta'ala brings this season every year, repeatedly, again and again, so that we don't just think that it's some custom and we go through the motions, but in fact that we should be able to realize that there are deeper meanings, there are valuable insights and lessons for us to connect with during this season and during this blessed day of Eid. And something that we find on days of celebration, something that we, you know, normally, amatan, that we find on days of celebration is that, alhamdulillah, they get a lot of participation. They get a lot of participation. People turn out in numbers. You know, alhamdulillah, if we even reflect on ourselves today, people, you know, gather in larger numbers, perhaps, than those people who may have come for the Fajr Jama'at the day before. On Eid, for example, we have many people who will, alhamdulillah, they will fulfill the obligation of their qurbani, of their udhiyah, of their sacrifice. And whether it's wajib, whether it's sunnah muakkada, whether it's obligatory or not, emphasize sunnah, it's a separate matter. There's difference opinion in the schools of fiqh. But that's not the point. The point is that many people will have performed their wajib act than many more people will have performed their wajib act on this day than may well have prayed their fard fajr the day before. So, you know, the point is, it's not to belittle anyone. The point is that on these days we get a significant turnout, we get a lot of engagement, and people by and large celebrate and involve themselves in this religious affair, more so than the religious affairs of our daily life. And we don't belittle any good deed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طليق. That do not belittle, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Do not belittle any good deed done by a brother. Do not belittle any good deed done by a brother. ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طليق. Even if it be meeting another brother with a smiling face. So we don't belittle anyone. But there is something to look at here. There's something to analyze, that possibly many more people will do qurbani than pray their regular salah. And part of what is at the root of this, in my understanding at least, is that people are unaware of why they do what they do. People are unaware of why they do what they do. They're just going with the flow. Have we thought about the significance behind what we are doing? Or are we just looking at those around us and going with the flow? That this is what I was brought up doing, this is what he does, this is what he does, so this is what I need to do too. Have we ever engaged a thought process, and have we ever looked into the origins of why we are doing what we are doing? And the root behind this is not knowing the background and the reasoning behind why we are doing what we are doing. Are we doing qurbani? Are we doing udhiyah? Because it's a duty prescribed to us by Allah Ta'ala and taught to us by our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and because it's a sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salam that has been adopted and given fresh life and given again to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we have been commanded to perform, reviving not only the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also a sunnah of the anbiya, of the prophets. Is that why we are performing it, or is it because we are going with the flow? And this is why it's important to look at our deeds and educate ourselves with regards to the objectives and why we are doing what we are doing in the first place. What are the deeper meanings and the lessons that can be drawn from what is on the surface a seemingly simple action? Udhiyah itself means sacrifice. In Urdu, we translate it as qurbani. In Urdu or Farsi, Persian, we translate it as qurbani, meaning sacrifice. Whatever term we use, the meaning is the same. But for most of us in this country, that sacrifice is really tiny. That sacrifice for us in this country, realistically speaking, is very tiny. You know, I'm sure that for some people it will be a big sacrifice to do qurbani and to do udhiyah and to make the sacrifice. But by and large, many of us, most of us, you know, won't feel it. For most of us, it'll cost us the same amount of money that some of us might drop on a pair of shoes, or we might spend on a nice jacket. For most of us, it's such a small amount. So for us, unless we're able to connect with the deeper meanings, then we've pretty much done something that's quite insignificant. We've pretty much done something that's quite insignificant. And you know, the actual sunnah is to do the zabiha yourself, to do the sacrifice yourself, but we can't do that. Or that we at least witness it. And again, most of us are probably not going to do that either. In fact, most of us won't even have seen the animal that's being sacrificed in our name. If we, for example, if we've ordered it at a local butcher or something, or even nowadays, for many of us, it's as simple as doing a qurbani online, doing it online. Yes, you know, a click of a button and it's done. And this is good, it's very convenient. But at the same time, we should reflect that where is our feeling of ikhlas? Where is our feeling of sincerity? Where is our feeling of actually making a sacrifice? And where is our connection with the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam? Where is the connection with the origin of this act, that Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered to sacrifice his son, that son who was most beloved to him, the son that he had longed for most of his life? What he was going to do was huge. It wasn't an insignificant act. And let's just take some time to talk about this and to reflect on this. So this day is called Eid al-Adha. Adha or Udhiyah, meaning sacrifice, meaning qurbani. This is an Islamic tradition that relates back to the sacrifice made by the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam. And this is exactly it. This is exactly it. That when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the noble companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, asked what is the significance of this udhiyah, of this sacrifice and of this qurbani, then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said that sunnatu abikum Ibrahim, that it is the sunnah and it is the practice of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salam. We also all know that according to our beliefs, our aqidah, that no person can be a believer until and unless he believes that there can be no Nabi, that there can be no Prophet, and there can be no Messenger that is equal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is the final Prophet and Messenger. He is the Imamul Anbiya, and he is the leader of the Prophets. But after him, of course, the different Anbiya, the different Prophets and Messengers, they all have, you know, they've been giving various ranks, various different standings and statuses and levels by Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says himself in the Holy Quran that tilka rusulu faddalna ba'dahum ala ba'd, that those are the messengers, some of whom we have given virtue over others, some of whom who we have given virtue over some others. And we find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he was taken for Isra, for the night journey, and then Mi'raj, for the ascension to the different heavens, on the first heaven, he met the Prophet Adam alayhi salam, and so on. It comes that he met Isa and Yahya alayhi salam. He met Yusuf and Idris alayhi salam, and then he met Musa alayhi salam. But then on the highest heaven, the highest sky, by Al Baytul Ma'mur, was Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam enjoyed a very close proximity and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in fact, He is such a prophet that has been mentioned by name in the Holy Quran around 35 times, Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the detail of this story, of this incident, is mentioned in Surah As-Saffat, chapter 37 of the Holy Quran, verse 100. To set the scene, Ibrahim alayhi salam had now reached an old age. And in books of tafsir, it's written that he reached around 86 years old. And having no children of his own, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi habli min as-salihin, that, oh my Lord, oh my Rabb, grant me a pious child. Oh my Lord, grant me a pious child. If I could please ask everyone to just stand up for a moment and just move forward, please. Stand up, everyone. There's people coming and there's space that we need to make. So if you can just stand up for a moment and please step forward into empty spaces. Please step forward into empty spaces. Jazakumullah. Jazakumullah. Take a seat. So this was the dua, this was the prayer of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Rabbi habli min as-salihin. O my Lord, O my Rabb, grant me a pious child. Grant me a righteous child. Fabashsharnahu bi ghulamin halim. And then Allah Ta'ala says that we gave him the good news, we gave him the basharat of a forbearing child. Now the real test began, that when Ismail alayhi salam began to run around, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Ibrahim, you are my khalil. You are my khalil. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah ta'ala says in the Quran that Allah ta'ala has taken Ibrahim to be his khalil. And what is the meaning of khalil? What is the meaning of khalil? An Arabic poem describes it beautifully. That قَدْ تَخَلَّلْتَ مَسْلَكَ الرُّوحِ مِنِّي وَبِذَا سُمِّيَ الْخَلِيلُ خَلِيلًا وَإِذَا مَا نَتَقْتُ كُنْتَ صَحِيحًا وَإِذَا مَا سَكَتُ كُنْتَ عَلِيلًا. That khalil means that you, someone's love is in every drop of your blood. someone, you know, someone's blood in their veins. And when you speak, you only speak about them. And when you're in silence, all you're doing is contemplating about that person. So this was Ibrahim alayhi salam. This was the relationship between Ibrahim alayhi salam and his Allah. But now, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's spending more time with his child. So Allah Ta'ala tested him. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he came to his child. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعْهُ السَّعْيَ. That when the child, when Ismail alayhi salam reached the age in which he could help his father with the work, then Qala, Ibrahim alayhi salam said, Ya Bunayya, O my son, O my beloved son, Inni ara fil manam, that I have seen in my dream, I have seen in my vision, Anni adhbahuka, that I am sacrificing you, Fandhur maza tara. So now you see, what is your view? What is your view? What do you think? What is your opinion on the matter? And now it may come to us the question, it may come to us the question that it's only a dream, it's only a dream. And for me and you, that's absolutely correct. It's only a dream, and dreams are not something that we act on. But for the prophets, alayhim as-salam, their dreams were wahi. Their dreams were protected, and their dreams were revelation from God Almighty. So, ru'ya al-anbiya, wahyun, that the dreams of the anbiya, of the prophets, are wahi, their revelation. And Ismail alayhi salam was fully aware of this. So he said, qala ya abati, if'al ma tu'mar. He said, O my father, if'al ma tu'mar, do that which you have been commanded. Satajiduni insha'Allahu min as-sabirin, that soon you will find me to be amongst those who are patient, who have sabr. You know, this was a mature conversation between a father and a son. It was not misleading, it was not indirect, it was not beating around the bush. It was a mature conversation, and it was understanding from the son. So this is what we should be reflecting on and taking lesson from. That part of the objectives of this time of year, part of the objectives of this time of year is to remember this story and the sacrifice made by Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail alayhi salam, and to bring an element of sacrifice in our lives as well, to bring an element of sacrifice into our lives as well. This is really important. We need to think, we need to reflect that what position does my deen and does my connection with my creator have in my life? Is it something that's primary, or is it something that I put to the side and that I only consider at certain times, that's very much secondary, that comes before, that comes after a lot of other things? This is the question that we should be asking. Is what matters to me that I have a good standing in society, that I'm well respected, that I have a good bank balance? Does deen mean more to me than my wealth? Does my akhirah matter more to me than my dunya? Does Allah Ta'ala matter to me more than my work? These are the questions that we should be asking. A way that we should, do I work in a haram job when I know that that earns the anger and the wrath of Allah Ta'ala, that this is against the commandments of our deen? طَلَبُكَ بِالْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ, that seeking of halal, risk and lawful livelihood is a fard, is an obligation on every Muslim. That we don't adopt haram means of sustenance. And we need to think, and I don't like to use these examples, but sometimes they really illustrate our state of being. If we consider that when we're at work, then how much importance do we give to our salah? How much importance do we give to our prayer? Is it the case that the prayer time comes and it goes and we don't even realize? Or we just think, you know, I'll pray it later. But if we compare this, salah is our need. Salah is our need. If we compare this to another one of our mundane, our dunyawi needs, if we take an example, we need to go to the toilet. And I don't like using this example, it's a crude example. But if we need to go to the toilet, then what happens? We make our excuses, we say to our employer, I'm just going to go to the loo, please excuse me for 5 minutes. But when it comes to salah, we feel too shy to ask. We feel too shy to observe our prayers, when in reality it only takes a few minutes. It only takes a few minutes. Is this what we have reduced our compulsory 5 daily prayers to, that Allah Ta'ala has made fard and commanded upon each and every one of us? That we've belittled it so much that we can ask to go to the toilet for a few minutes to relieve ourselves and to empty the filth from our bodies, but when it comes to something so pure and noble, such as salah, such as standing in front of your Creator, that we feel shy to ask? This is what we need to ask ourselves, my brother. That there is a lesson, that there are lessons here, Ibrahim alayhi salam had complete sacrifice and complete submission to the commandments of Allah Ta'ala, to the commandments of our Lord. So sacrificing is something that we need to do and that we need to take lessons from and that we need to bring into our lives as well. Submission to Allah Ta'ala, submission to the commands of our deen, submission to what Allah Ta'ala wants from us in any given moment is what we need to implement into our lives. This is what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. This is what Allah Ta'ala wants from us. That we sacrifice and we recognize and we take this message of sacrifice away with us. And this is illustrated in Eid al-Adha by our sacrificing of an animal. That man wajada sa'atan falam yudahi fala yaqrabanna musallana is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the one who has the financial capacity of sacrificing an animal but doesn't do so, then tell him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so displeased with this act that he said, tell him not to even come close to our prayer of Eid. Tell him not to even come close to our Eid musalla. So sacrificing an animal, if one has the financial capability, has been emphasized. And the question, you know, arises that what kind of animal should be sacrificed? And, you know, can it be a chicken, for example? The answer is no. The answer is no. Because we have guidelines from the Sunnah. We have guidelines from the Sunnah. It can be a smaller animal, such as a goat or a sheep, which counts, which is sufficient for one person. And likewise, it can be a bigger animal, such as cattle or a camel, and that can have 7 shares in it. And not only this, that there are many guidelines. There are many guidelines that have to be observed as well when slaughtering an animal. That the knife has to be sharpened and the blade concealed from the animal so that the animal isn't put into undue distress. And not to slaughter in front of another animal that is to be slaughtered as well, so as not to cause distress, pain and suffering to the other animal. Islam teaches us, my friend, animal rights. Islam teaches us, my friend, the rights of livestock and animals. And in the books of fiqh, you will find chapters dedicated to the rights of animals and livestock. Our deen, my friends, is holistic. This is animal welfare and rights found in the sunnah. Washing the hands before eating. This is an example of infection prevention and control. You know, in this current climate, more relevant than ever. Our deen is holistic, my friends, but we fail to understand this. What we need to do and what is holding us back from implementing our deen, from doing that which our Creator wants from us, is the fact, my friends, that we need to learn our deen. We are disconnected from our deen. We don't know our deen. So each of us, what we need to do, first and foremost, is to seek knowledge of deen. Seek knowledge of deen from reliable sources, from reliable ulama. The way of our deen being taught is heart to heart, chest to chest, person to person. This is the best way to get deen. This is the best way to get the knowledge of Islam. This is how the Prophet ﷺ imparted deen to his sahaba, and the sahaba imparted the teachings of the deen to the tabi'een, and similarly and so on and so forth to the salaf and the ulama of this ummah. This is how the deen has been inherited, and this is how we should inherit our deen as well. So we need to learn deen, my friends. We need to learn deen, and then we need to understand and implement deen as well. We need to understand and implement deen as well. So this, my friends, and respected elders, the ultimate goal is submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ultimate goal is submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I hope that we can go away today, inshallah, having learned a little about the background and the history of Eid al-Adha and the sacrifice and submission of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that we can also bring an element of sacrifice and submission into our lives as well. If there are two paths to follow, two options, one of them involves leaving the commandments of our deen, and the other involves making some sacrifice, but doing that which pleases our Creator, then that is what we must do. That is the option that we must submit to. This is sacrifice, my friends. This is qurbani. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us the tawfiq, give us the ability and capability to fulfill this commandment of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and to allow us to become people who reflect, people who learn deen, people who understand deen, and people who implement deen in their lives, so that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us. Because that is the ultimate goal, that Allah Ta'ala becomes pleased with us and shows us His favor, His rahmah and His mercy in this dunya and in the akhirah. May Allah Ta'ala make that the case. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah, before we make a start on the Eid prayer, I'll just talk through the method of the Eid prayer. As it comes, Eid Salah takes place twice a year, so many of us, it slips our mind how to pray. So the Eid Salah, just to recap, it's two rak'ats of wajib prayer with six extra takbirs. Two rak'ats of wajib prayer with six extra takbirs. There's no adhan and there's no iqamah. It's just the salah will start. There's no adhan and there's no iqamah. And the salah will start. So it's two rak'ats of wajib salah with six extra takbirs. Three of those takbirs will take place in the first rak'at, and the second will take place in the second set of three. The last three will take place in the second rak'at. So the method in which we will do this is, the niyyah is, as I've described, the two rak'at of wajib prayer with six extra takbirs. And we'll start our salah by doing takbir tahrima, Allahu Akbar. And we'll fold our hands as we would usually. Then we'll recite thana, subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha ghayruk. And then will be the first three takbirs will take place. So the imam will recite the first takbir, Allahu Akbar, and you will drop your hands to your sides. You will drop your hands to your sides. Again, the imam will say, Allahu Akbar, and you will drop your hands to your sides a second time, and then the imam will say, Allahu Akbar, a third time, and then you will fold your hands. You will fold your hands, and the imam will recite. He will recite Surah Al-Fatiha and another surah. Then he will go into ruku'. He will do sajda as normal, and then he will both sajdas as normal, and then he will stand up for the second rakat. Can I get some water, please? Jazakumullah. My throat's very dry. Jazakumullah. The imam will stand up after the sajdas for the second rakat, and he will go straight into recitation of the Quran. He will go straight into reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, and then another surah, and then the three takbirs that are remaining will be recited before going into ruku'. So that the way of doing that in the second rak'ah will be that the imam will finish his recitation and then you will say Allahu Akbar, first takbir, and you will drop your hands to your sides. Allahu Akbar, and the imam and yourself will drop your hands to your sides. And then third time also, Allahu Akbar, and you will drop your hands to your sides. And then the imam will say a fourth time, Allahu Akbar, to go into ruku', and then you will finish your salah, finish your prayer as normal. So this is the method of praying Eid Salah. Inshallah, I'll also recap that in Urdu as well. And just to say that after the salah finishes, there will be dua, and then there will be a khutbah after the namaz as well, a sunnah khutbah. So everyone should stay, please, seated until the khutbah is finished. Eid ki namaz ka tariqa, ke ye do rakat wajib namaz hai, 6 zayid takbiron ke saath. Ye do rakat wajib namaz, 6 zayid takbiron ke saath. Koi azan bhi nahi hoti aur iqamat bhi nahi hoti, seedhe namaz ke liye khade honge. To do rakat wajib namaz, 6 zayid takbiron ke saath. Inme se 3 takbirat pehli rakat mein hogi aur baki 3 dusri rakat mein hogi. نماز پڑھنے کا طریقہ یہ ہے کہ امام صاحب نماز شروع کریں گے تکبیر تحریمہ کے ساتھ اللہ اکبر پھر ہاتھ باندھ لیں گے پھر ثنا پڑھیں گے صاحب سبحانک اللہم و بحمدک و تبارک اسمک و تعالی جدک ولا الہ غیرک پھر امام صاحب پہلی تکبیر کہیں گے اللہ اکبر اور ہاتھوں کو چھوڑ دینا ہے پھر دوسری تکبیر پڑھیں گے اللہ اکبر اور ہاتھوں کو چھوڑ دینا ہے اور پھر تیسری تکبیر پڑھیں گے اللہ اکبر اور ہاتھوں کو باندھ لینا ہے پھر امام صاحب تلاوت کریں گے سورہ فاتحہ پڑھیں گے اور دوسری سورت کی تلاوت کریں گے پھر رکوع میں جائیں گے دونوں سجدے ہوں گے حسب معمول جیسے عامتاً نماز میں ہوتے ہیں پھر امام صاحب دوسری رکعت کے لیے کھڑے ہوں گے اور سیدھے فوراً تلاوت قرآن پاک شروع کر دیں گے سورہ فاتحہ پڑھیں گے اور کوئی سورت پڑھیں گے سورت ختم کرتے ہی رکوع میں جانے سے پہلے امام صاحب بقیہ 3 تکبیریں پڑھیں گے اللہ اکبر ہاتھوں کو چھوڑ دینا ہے اللہ اکبر دوسری بار ہاتھوں کو چھوڑ دینا ہے اور اللہ اکبر تیسری بار ہاتھوں کو چھوڑ دینا ہے اور پھر امام صاحب چوتھی تکبیر کہیں گے رکوع میں جانے کے لیے اللہ اکبر اور پھر جیسے حسب معمول نماز ختم ہوتی ہے رکوع دو سجدے اور پھر قعدہ اخیرہ اور پھر سلام جیسے نماز عامتاً ختم ہوتی ہے مکمل ہوتی ہے ویسے نماز مکمل ہوگی نماز کے بعد انشاءاللہ دعا ہوگی نماز کے بعد انشاءاللہ دعا ہوگی اور دعا کے بعد خطبہ ہوگا انشاءاللہ سب خطبے کے لیے بھی بیٹھے رہیں اور مسنون خطبے کے لیے جو سنت ہے اور انشاءاللہ پھر خطبے سے فارغ ہو کے انشاءاللہ سب فارغ جا سکتے ہیں انشاءاللہ تو انشاءاللہ صفے باندھ لیں پلیز اسٹریٹ ان دا روز اسٹینڈ شولڈر ٹو شولڈر فل ان دا ایمٹی گیپس Please straighten the rows, stand shoulder to shoulder, fill in the empty gaps. Safo ko poor farmaye, khali jagah ko mukammal farmaye, kandhe se kandhe ko milaye. Istau sufufakum fa inna taswiyata safi min tamam as-salah. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فاجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم. الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر. الله أكبر ولله الحمد. الحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين. يا الله please accept our gathering here today. يا الله please accept our gathering here today for your sake. يا الله. يا الله please accept our أعمال. Please accept our deeds. يا الله please ignore our shortcomings, slips of the tongue, lack of adab, lack of ikhlas. يا الله. يا الله please forgive us and accept from us. يا الله today we do tawbah from every sin. Ya Allah, please accept our tawbah, Ya Allah. Please accept our tawbah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please accept our tawbah. Ya Allah, please make us steadfast on our tawbah. Ya Allah, please accept our broken efforts, our feeble efforts during these last 10 days. Ya Allah, please protect our iman, the iman of our children and youngsters, and Ya Allah, for generations to come. Ya Allah, protect the iman of our youth and all of our iman, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq. Ya Allah, divinely enable us to walk on the path of Shariat and Sunnah, and to submit ourselves to you, and to have taqwa, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, please accept all of us for the service of your beautiful, pure and pristine deen. Ya Allah, we know that we are not qabil to serve your deen. We know that we are not capable of serving your deen. But Ya Allah, we also know that it's not about qabiliyat, Ya Allah. It's all about qubuliyat, Ya Allah. It's all about who you accept for the service of your deen. So Ya Allah, please accept us. Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, Ya Allah. Please, all of those who have asked for du'as, all of those who are in difficulties, Ya Allah, please give them all that they are in need and ease their affairs with khair, barakat and afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who are in difficulty all over the world, all of our friends, all of our brothers, Ya Allah, around the world that are in any state of difficulty, Ya Allah, create ease for them, Ya Allah, with khair and afiyat. Ya Allah, have mercy on our parents. رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Ya Allah, our parents and our family who have passed away, Ya Allah, please forgive them. And Ya Allah, raise their darajat, raise their ranks in the hereafter. Ya Allah, please make their graves from the gardens of paradise. Ya Allah, enlighten their graves, make their graves full of noor, Ya Allah. Ameen. And Ya Allah, our parents who are alive, Ya Allah, please make it easy for them, make their old age easy for them. Ya Allah, please make us obedient children and make us children who are the coolness of their eyes. Ya Allah, please put barakat in their life, in their health and in everything that they have. Ya Allah, please put sakina, put peace and tranquility in their hearts, And Ya Allah, please allow us to serve them as we ought to. Ya Allah, we don't know how to ask you. You are the knower of all things, the hidden and the apparent, wa zahir and batin, public and private. Ya Allah, grant us all that we are in need of with khair, barakat and afiyat. Ya Allah, all those who have gone for hajj, who have made the pilgrimage of hajj, Ya Allah, please accept their hajj and be pleased with them, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, also give those of us who remain behind, Ya Allah, the opportunity to visit your blessed house again and again, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give us all the means and the opportunity to perform an accepted hajj, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, be pleased with us in the dunya and at the time of our deaths, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, when the time of death comes, please allow us to recite the kalima with our last breaths. And Ya Allah, please make all the stages of the hereafter easy for us and gather us all together in Jannatul Firdaus under the feet of your beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya Allah, we are beggars. Ya Allah, we are beggars at your door. Ya Allah, you yourself say in the Quran, Ya ayyuhan nas, antumul fuqara'u ila Allah, that, O mankind, you are all beggars before Allah. Ya Allah, we are such beggars that don't even know how to ask properly. Ya Allah, we are such beggars that don't even know how to ask properly. Ya Allah, you know all of our needs, all of our wants. Ya Allah, you know all that we are in need of. Ya Allah, you know those things that we want to make dua for. Ya Allah, those things that are in our hearts, but we've not yet been able to vocalize. Ya Allah, we ask you that you please fulfill our needs and our jais, hajat and dhururiyat, our jais, needs and necessities with khair, barakah and afiyah, Ya Allah. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Please remain seated, inshallah. We'll have the khutbah.
Allahu Akbar, 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 La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, walillahil hamd. الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد أما بعد اعلموا أيها المسلمون أن يومكم هذا يوم عيد وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن لكل قوم عيد وهذا عيدنا الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد ويومكم هذا يوم نحر وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما عمل ابن آدم من عمل يوم النحر أحب إلى الله من إهراق الدم وإنه ليأتي يوم القيامة بقرونها وأشعارها وأظلافها وإن الدم ليقع من الله بمكان قبل أن يقع بالأرض فطيبوا بها نفسا الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد وقال أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله ما هذه الأضاحي قال سنة أبيكم إبراهيم عليه السلام قالوا فما لنا فيها يا رسول الله قال بكل شعرة حسنة قالوا فالصوف يا رسول الله قال بكل شعرة من الصوف حسنة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من وجد ساعة لأن يضحي فلم يضحي فلا يحضر مصلانا الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد وذبح النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم الذبح كبشين أقرنين أملحين فلما وجههما قال إني وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض على ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما أنا من المشركين إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا من المسلمين اللهم منك ولك عن محمد وأمته بسم الله الله أكبر ثم ذبح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد وقال الله تعالى لن ينال الله لحومها ولا دماؤها ولكن يناله التقوى منكم كذلك سخرها لكم لتكبروا الله على ما هداكم وبشر المحسنين الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله أكبر 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 لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على سيدنا محمد وأزواجه وذرياته الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر رضي الله عنه وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر رضي الله عنه وأصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه وأقضاهم علي رضي الله عنه وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة رضي الله عنه والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة رضي الله تعالى عنهما وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضي الله عنه اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده رضي الله تعالى عنهما مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا رضي الله عنهم وعن كل الصحابة أجمعين الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعيذكم لعلكم تذكرون وقال تعالى فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر الله أكبر ولله الحمد تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال عيد مبارك
durumu ben tanımadan numara.
Não, 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 não